السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة، إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. صدق الله العظيم. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us many places in the Quran Sharif, ayat, over which He has asked us to reflect. His signs over which He says that people should reflect over those verses. All those verses will truly benefit only those who reflect. People will read those verses, they will see those signs of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but they will only benefit if they truly reflect, ponder. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, of His many signs, one of the signs that He has given, that He is our Creator, that He is our Khaliq, that He is our Malik, and that He is our Sustainer, and that everything is happening with His hukam, with His order, with His command. And to see His glory, His greatness, His beauty, Allah Ta'ala has given many, many signs of His. One of those signs that He has given is that He created for you mates out of yourselves. Allah Ta'ala created wives out of the same kind, humankind. He didn't make angels our wives, and He didn't make jinnat our wives, because the jinnat wives would have disappeared overnight and would have been very difficult to search for them. And if they were angels, then they don't eat, they don't drink, they don't have any desires of the humankind, so there would have been no compatibility. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created mates of the same kind. And He says that this is one of His ayat, one of His signs, of His qudrat, that out of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, He created Hazrat Hawa. Now this you have heard many times. It is once again a nikah occasion. So I want to discuss a little further. I was just thinking which ayat to discuss. So this ayat came to mind. But I want to link it up with something that we have been discussing a few weeks ago. And that was the question of AIDS in the society. And I said that this is due to the abundance of zina and abundance of homosexual relationship that AIDS is spreading. However, many innocent children, women, and others are getting caught up because of blood transfusion and so many other reasons. So marriage is something that Shariat not only recommends but emphasizes upon. Great emphasis is placed upon marriage, because Allah Ta'ala has put this instinct into man, and if he is not going to find a halal outlet for this instinct, then he is going to go towards haram. And since all over there is nothing but attraction towards haram, there is plentiful of attraction towards haram. So in which other way is the person going to satisfy this craving of his, or this need of his, or this instinct? How is he going to find an outlet? Either he is going to indulge in something that is unnatural, or this person is going to go towards zina. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and all the other Nabis of the past, they undertook marriage. Marriage is a sunnah of all the Nabis of the past, except Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is reported in authentic hadiths that when he will come down, when he will descend, then he will marry Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he too will fulfill the sunnat of nikah. There are certain exceptions when a person is so short-tempered, is so temperamental, that there is fear that if this person is going to get married, the only thing he will do is all the time abuse that wife. He will not be able to maintain, or he is not able to maintain and support that wife. Or there are other reasons the person is mentally not in a stable condition, yet he is fit, strong and healthy. So there are certain reasons. Or some people, because of their engagement in their ibadat and zikr and tilawat, they reach those levels that now they just feel that they will not be able to fulfill the rights of the wives. Then there are exceptions. But in general cases, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized that those people who are able to marry, they should marry. This is our appeal to young people who are of marriageable age, that do not delay this marriage, because it is going to lead to sins. And we are hearing, we are listening, we are reading of what is happening. Look at the amount of murders that are taking place, the amount of killings, and the amount of illegitimate births that are taking place, the amount of abortions that are taking place. I'm not talking about other communities, I'm talking about our Muslim community. What is the major cause of that? It is because this beautiful sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not being practiced upon. It is delayed extensively. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized on this. In this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that litaskunu ilaiha, so that you may dwell with them in tranquility. Allah ta'ala says that this marriage is for what purpose? So that you may dwell with them in tranquility. That means you will get sukoon in your lives. You will find peace in your lives. Because there is this urge, this is this desire, there is this instinct that Allah ta'ala has created. So now this person, when he is going to have a wife, he will find sukoon. Besides the other things that I have been mentioning in the other bayans, but this person will now find sukoon in this marriage. The person, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, Ya ma'ashara shabab man istata'a ilaykum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj fa innahu aghaddu lil-basar wa ahsanu lil-farj, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. The gist of which is that it will assist you and help you in lowering your gaze from haram. That if the person is going to marry, then it will help him, or it will be a cause of his lowering his gaze from those women that are haram for him. And it will be a protection for him against zina, adultery, this marriage. It will be a protection for him. So if we look at the different verses of the Quran Sharif, the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we get many, many benefits of marriage. But some of the major ones, in the short time that we have, we can't discuss everything at length. But these are some of the major ones, that this person will now find tranquility. His home will become a home. His home will not be an empty place. There will be sukoon. After a hard day's work, when he will return home, then his wife will be there to welcome him, provided of course he fulfills the rights of the wife. And the wife also is not just one of those who has got high qualifications and degrees, and a professional woman who is whole day out in the outside world. If he has got a real housewife, then this wife will be welcoming this person. And he will find peace, he will find comfort. The Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there would have been no need for them to marry. Because who could have had a greater contact with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala than the Nabis of Allah ta'ala? But yet they found sukoon. So that was one very important factor in this marriage. So then we say that why is it, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned this, that it will be a protection for you. It will be a protection against adultery. And it will be a cause of lowering your gaze. But we don't find people lowering the gaze, and we don't find them protecting themselves and safeguarding themselves from adultery. So now you don't blame Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam for that, na'uzu billah. And you do not blame the Quran Sharif for that. The Quran Sharif said that you will find tranquility, and you will find sukoon. And you will also find Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala putting mawadda and rahma. Allah ta'ala will put mawaddat and rahmat. Allah ta'ala says that I have put love and mercy between them. in marriage, the two partners, Allah Ta'ala says that He puts love and mercy between them. But then everything goes with conditions. Doctors give prescriptions for certain sicknesses and diseases, but then they say there is a diet. Go to any Hakim of the world, and he will give you a prescription. He will say, take this medication, but together with that, he gives you a whole list of things that you must diet from. You must stay away from. Now, the person does not diet. If the person does not diet, then you don't blame the medicine of the Hakim or the medicine of the doctor. It is his problem that he is not dieting. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has put a diet list for us, that restrain yourself from these things, then it will become easy after that for you to lower your gaze. It will become easy for you after that to restrain yourself from adultery. And we all know what the diet list is. But it's just that we do not want to take up the courage and the himmat to stay away from those things that will lead to zina. If the person is going to purposely purchase video movies, if the person is going to purposely watch haram on television, if the person is going to purposely go and buy filthy literature and bring it into his home and then read in the privacy of his home where he thinks nobody is watching, jo chup ke karta hai tu ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. But he forgets that and he thinks that he is enjoying himself. So when he is going to do that, then the next step is going to be zina. Because that person's one wife is not going to be able to satisfy all his fantasies now. The majority of the people, it is those fantasies that are being cooked up in the hearts after reading all the filth, after watching all the filth. Brothers, what must I tell you? I get so much of letters, so much of phone calls for people wanting islah. And some of the cases that we have to deal with, they are so shocking. But then we sympathize with the person because he's a patient, he's sick. A doctor is not a doctor if he looks down upon a patient. He must look at the patient as one who is requiring assistance and help. And he must try and find a remedy for him and a solution for him. I'm in the masjid, besides the many letters, but the other one that I received just yesterday, of the same time, same incident. This young girl is writing of the same incident that others have written. She says that I watched a certain film. Now, I don't know the names of films, but to convince you that what I'm telling you is the truth, she says that I watched a film by the name of Tom Jones. I don't know if there is a film by that name, but this is what she has mentioned. And she says, in that film, a father commits incest with his daughter. And after I watched that film, she says, the thoughts of this incest are bugging me so much that I don't know whether I'm coming or going, I will go mad. I just want to commit incest with my father, na'uzu billahi min zalik. Besides what I told you about the other person, and there are not one, quite a few, who have been affected directly by the watching of these films. This person wants to take a gun and shoot his father. Another person, a young girl from one of our Muslim schools, she writes, she says that my mother is a wonderful person. She hasn't done anything that is a cause of objection. But after watching this certain film, and she also mentioned the name of that film, but I don't want to give you the names because some of people after listening to the names, they say, let us also go and have a look at it. That is what man's nature is. So she says, after looking at that film, he says, the desire came very strong in my mind to throttle my mother. He says, at night when I get up, I get such a strong urge to go into my mother's room and throttle her. Brothers, this is what we are providing for our beloved children in our homes. And all the other type of incidents that are coming to the surface, Allah Ta'ala protect us and safeguard us. We don't want to deprive you of enjoyment, of pleasure, of happiness, of fun. It is part of life of a Muslim to be happy, to be cheerful, to enjoy himself. But there's so much of halal forms of entertainment that is there available for the Muslim. Why go towards that which will corrupt the mind? It will destroy the person's moral fiber. It will destroy his health. It will destroy his wealth. It will destroy everything. It will bring about such kind of problems that the person will then shed tears of blood too. It's not going to be able to resolved. Now just imagine if this girl on one occasion, she just has to go into the mother's room and throttle her. Or if this person has to on some occasion just take the gun and shoot his father after watching this some cowboy film. A young person. So what I am saying is that this zina also, this is the major cause that people are watching so much of filth in the bazaars, in the marketplaces, on the television screen, and they're reading so much of filth that although they are married, but they are committing plenty of adultery. So now do you blame the Islamic Institute of Marriage for that? If we want to follow those who have got nothing to do with Quran, nothing to do with Sunnah, nothing to do with Sharia, nothing to do with the Akhirat, then we must blame ourselves for the consequences that we find ourselves in. Because for them it is Jannat. For them it is Jannat on earth. If they have to sleep with 100 women, then that is for them the Jannat. But it is such a kind of Jannat that when they get AIDS, then they'll forget what happened. But for us, we have got boundaries that Shariat has placed. Tilka hududullah, fala taqrabuha. Allah Ta'ala says these are boundaries that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has placed, then don't even go near the boundary. Because the animal that will graze very near the boundary, then it is going to go across onto the other person's land. So now each and everyone knows what I am talking about. That in our business houses, in our factories, in our offices, in our surgeries and our practices, in our schools and in our colleges and universities and madrasas, a person has to be on guard, especially when he is working with other women, women who are strangers to him. Then shaitan is going to glorify even the ugliest woman in his sight. Put two people together, one an ugly woman and another person with a very pretty wife at home, and leave them alone in a room, work together, and shaitan will glorify that woman in front of him. He will forget that he has got a very pretty wife at home. And then we will get illegitimate children, we'll get abortions, and we'll get husband-wife arguments, and we'll get a dissolution of marriages, and we'll get all kinds of problems. So how long are we going to enjoy this kind of filthy lifestyles? Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam therefore said that those people who will indulge in zina, those people who will indulge in zina, he says, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not look at them with glance of mercy. Allah ta'ala will not talk to them with mercy and rahmat on the day of judgment. Allah ta'ala will punish them very severely. And of the many things that have been mentioned, that the person's risk and his sustenance, the barakat of that sustenance and risk is totally lost. People who had plentiful, and at one time they were flying the world, and indulging in adultery and fornication in any hotel that they stayed. But after some time the businesses collapsed, the companies disappeared from the surface of the earth, and some of their children are beggars now on the streets. Go and see in India, those Mughal rulers, when this is what they started indulging in, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took away kingdoms from them, and their grandchildren are on the streets. The great-great-grandchildren are on the streets of Delhi. They are beggars. Whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, it is the truth and nothing but the truth. So if we have got plentiful and we think that we are having a very rosy life, then we must not forget this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because days can turn, things can change. There is rotation taking place and there's revolutions taking place. Tilkal ayyamu nudawiluha bainan nas. So we do not know what is in future. It is stupid and it is foolish to test the mighty power of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If a person has to go to the Kruger National Park and he says that I am a very brave and a strong person and I am going to challenge the lions of this jungle, then we know that he will become the samosa of the day for that lion. So the roar of the lion we fear, and here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's might and power we have got no fear. Yet it should not be due to the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab. It should be due to the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that He is the one who blessed us with the wealth. He is the one who blessed us with our sight, with our hearing, with our speech. He is the one who gave us the strength in the body. And is this what we are doing, that same strength we go and commit zina? Deprive a person of food for 20 days. And thereafter to ask him now, do you want food or do you want to us to bring your mashuqa, your beloved, your illicit love? Then that person will say, to hell with her, bring me food. So it shows the masti that is coming in us is because of the wealth and the food that Allah Ta'ala is providing. Now we use the same thing for Allah Ta'ala's disobedience. But Allah Ta'ala is so forgiving, so merciful and so compassionate and kind that He gives the person a rope. Perhaps he may make tawbah and return. But when the person fails to return, then after that the punishment of Allah Ta'ala is also very severe. An incident comes in the books of hadith, or in fact this incident is not in the hadith sharif, but it has been mentioned by Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi in his Ahya ul-Ulum. He says that there was a person by the name of Sulaiman bin Yasar. This Sulaiman bin Yasar and his friend, they were traveling out for Hajj, and he was a very pious person. So on the way they camped at a place called Abawa, and he asked his friend that now you go and buy some foodstuff and come. So the friend went out to buy some foodstuffs. In the meantime, some very pretty woman from the hilltop came down to his camp. The temptation was so great because she was a very pretty woman and she was inviting him and seducing him. So seeing that Shaitan has come in this form, he put his head between his knees and he began to cry. He became hysterical. Oh Allah, do not test me. I am a weak human being. Do not test me with this kind of a condition. I may not be able to make sabr. So therefore, Allah, save me, protect me. And he started crying and making dua. This woman got the fright of her life and she went away from there. After some time, when his friend came back, he asked him, what has happened? I see your eyes have turned red and you are full of tears and your body is shivering. He says, I'm on my way to Hajj. And I was tempted with this kind of a situation. First, of course, he tried to find excuses that no, it was just, I thought of my children. He said, you couldn't have been thinking of your children in 3 days' time. So then he mentioned this incident. So his friend also started sobbing. He said, but why are you sobbing now? He says, because if I was in your place, I would have been trapped. So I'm making shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that I had to go to do the buying and you remained here. Now look at them, that they looked forward to protecting themselves. So they proceeded and they arrived at Makkah Sharif. He went to the Multazam after having made his tawaf. He made a lot of dua there. And then he was tired, he went off to sleep. In the dream he sees Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam asks him, or tells him, are you that person? He asks him, are you that person? Sulaiman bin Yasar. And is this incident regarding you? He says it was a very strange incident. That how you safeguard, how you protected yourself, how you did not indulge in the sin. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, before he could ask him, this person asked him that, are you Yusuf? The one whom Zulaikha tried to seduce, but he said, I prefer going into jail than that I should indulge in this kind of act. So that was a very strange thing. Then he said, no, what you did was even more stranger than that, because I was a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and you were an ordinary ummati. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept a diet for us after marriage. After marriage, if the person is not going to watch all this filth and is going to restrain himself, his gaze from watching haram and from fantasizing about haram, then indeed this nikah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will put sukoon. Allah ta'ala will give love put love between the hearts of the husbands and wives. Allah ta'ala will give them tranquility in their hearts, because whatever Allah has promised in the Quran Sharif is the truth and nothing but the truth. Accidental sin, the person makes plenty of tawbah and istighfar. But to go out in search of sins, it is not the sign of a mu'min. A mu'min does not go out in search of sins. I mentioned in the majlis the other night that if a person had to step out of his house and accidentally if he trampled the stool of a dog, then he will curse the neighbor, he will curse the person that the dog belongs to, and he will go and take his shoes off and take his socks off and he may even have a bath. But that was accidental. But we haven't heard of a person after that going outside in search of dog stool to go and trample, because he considers it filth. So in the heart of a mu'min, zina must be filth. Fornication must be filth, worse than that. Sodomy must be filth, even worse than that. And then fulfill the rights. Husband fulfills the wife's rights, wife fulfills the husband's rights. And see what sukoon you get on this earth. Allah Ta'ala will then make our homes jannat on earth. Believe me, it will become jannat on earth. The person, the moment he enters his house, he will be happy to see his wife will be happy to see him. I conclude that if we are going to take our wives, as we get many cases, that one woman, she left, packed her bags and went away from another town she was. But she insisted that I must try and resolve the problem. So the husband and wife came. So the husband complained that no, she does not fulfill my rights and she does not do this and do that. She says, I get up 4 o'clock in the morning. I must get the child ready for HIFS classes. After the HIFS classes, I must go and pick him up. I must go and drop him. After Fajr, then I must start preparing the children for the school. I must prepare the breakfast for them. I must tie the sandwiches. Then I must prepare for the husband his breakfast. And he's a very demanding and a fussy husband. He wants this and he wants that. And then again, he's fussy. He must have lunch also. Then he drags me to the shop immediately after that. And he makes me work from the morning till 6 o'clock in the business. And from there he brings me home. And again when we come home, I've got to start taking care of the children's needs and requirements. In the meantime, they were with the maid and we don't know what had happened. But after that, I must do all that. Then again, he wants hot food and he wants his clothes to be ironed and pressed and everything. And then again, I must do everything that he wants, which a husband would like a wife to do. So now who do you blame for this kind of marriages breaking down? Allah Ta'ala asked us to make them housewives, not business women. So if they are not fulfilling our rights, then we must blame ourselves. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us hidayah. Brothers, I'm trying to pour from the depths of my heart. I wish I could transfer it into your hearts. I want to see each and everyone enjoy peace, happiness, sukoon, tranquility, noor of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the heart, and such kind of happiness which the kings haven't even heard of. But how are we going to get it if we are not prepared to make a little sacrifice of the evils of our lives? Throw away the pebbles and stones and Allah Ta'ala will fill our hearts with diamonds and pearls. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.